WXLQ Bristol and WXLJ Whitehall Glens Falls. It's 8 o'clock.
Good morning. This is Northern Light for Wednesday, May 1st. I'm Monica Sandresky.
And I'm Todd Moe.
Governor Kathy Hochul is touting the state's new investment in artificial intelligence and says it could boost upstate economies.
Communities throughout the North Country are dealing with a shortage of poll workers. Many county boards of election are thinking of ways to get young people involved.
Democracy is so much more than showing up on election day. What I find is that young people are energized and engaged, but oftentimes they don't necessarily have the outlet to express that involvement.
Three North Country towns and six arts groups are receiving state grants for infrastructure upgrades.
And we're heading into morel mushroom season, so we'll listen back to an edible mushroom hunt in the Champlain Valley with Chef Curtis Hem.
So the way I harvest is basically I come in with my two fingers on a stipe and I'll cut. And I just kind of, you know, just give a little shake.
All that's coming up on Northern Light. Stick with us.
Broadcast of Northern Light here on North Country Public Radio is supported by Mountain Orthotic and Prosthetic Services, a full-service practice committed to providing care for patients of all ages with offices in Lake Placid, Plattsburgh, and Malone. Details and referrals at mountainonp.com. And by Blue Seed Studios, a multidisciplinary art center featuring classes for adults and youth, concerts, art exhibits, and more. BLUSeedStudios.org.
This is Northern Light. I'm Monica Sandresky.
And I'm Todd Moe. The town of Henderson in the Thousand Islands is facing a second lawsuit after changing its zoning laws to allow a real estate company to build summer cottages on Hovey's Island. According to the Watertown Daily Times, nearby landowners are alleging that the town didn't complete an environmental review and violated the state's open meetings law and municipal home rule law. The owner of Sun Communities plans on building up to 117 seasonal cabins and cottages on the island. Many property owners along the nearby Snowshoe Road are concerned the development will negatively impact travel and the environment. The lawsuits seek to overturn town law and have the development project declared inconsistent with town zoning regulations. Action on both suits is currently pending.
Governor Kathy Hochul is highlighting the state's investment in artificial intelligence research. Lawmakers approved the funding for a new project in the state budget earlier this month. Karen DeWitt reports the governor is hoping it makes New York the next Silicon Valley.
Hochul and state lawmakers approved $400 million in public and private funds for the project known as Empire AI.
We always dream big. We have our Erie Canal moment right now. This is how significant this Empire AI initiative is.
It will fund the building of a large-scale AI computing center in New York that will be accessed by a consortium of leading universities. They include Columbia, New York University, Cornell, and Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, as well as SUNY and CUNY schools. Hochul says currently only the largest technology companies have the resources to create AI-related computers. She says that gives them outsized control of the emerging technology. Hochul says a publicly built AI database offers access to researchers at universities, public interest organizations, and smaller tech companies who might otherwise be left behind. She says it also has the potential to create thousands of good-paying jobs and revive the flagging upstate economy.
And the state, with the passage of our budget, now has the resources necessary to do something which is quite extraordinary, to make available the supercomputing power of AI available to every student who wishes to avail themselves of it in the state of New York. This is a great equalizer, It is going to create great opportunities for jobs and commercialization, new jobs, new entrepreneurs.
The state budget provides $275 million in grants and other funding for the project, while the remaining $125 million comes from private funding sources and the universities themselves. They each have to contribute $25 million. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt for the New York Public News Network.
State police in Jefferson County have identified the two sheriff's deputies and the Chemung man involved in a shooting this past weekend. Investigators say deputies Brian Hanlon and Nolan Drake arrived at a home in the town of Lyme for a domestic incident early Saturday morning. 68-year-old Brian Countryman allegedly ran down the driveway towards the officers with a knife. Police say the deputies told Countryman to drop the weapon, and when he continued to come towards them, they shot him. Countryman was transported to Samaritan Medical Center in Watertown. As of Tuesday afternoon, he was listed in stable but critical condition. Neither deputy was injured. State police say they'll continue to investigate.
And water levels on Lake Ontario and the St. Lawrence River are all around average so far this spring. That's according to an update from the International Lake Ontario St. Lawrence River Board. Lake Ontario is currently at 246 feet. Officials say forecasts show water levels have a higher chance of declining below their long-term average this summer than they do of being above average. But they add that water levels are impossible to predict as weather conditions like drought, rain, and wind constantly change. The board says the snowpack levels for the Lake Ontario St. Lawrence River Basin and the Ottawa River Basin were below average over the this past winter. But the board says there's not a lot of correlation between the snowpack and spring and summer water levels. Instead, officials say water levels in these seasons are determined by several factors like how fast snow melts, spring runoff, and soil moisture. The river board says the amount of rain the region receives in the coming weeks is the biggest factor in determining peak water levels for spring.
You're listening to Northern Lights here on North Country Public Radio, 7 minutes past eight. Good morning, I'm Todd Moe.
And I'm Monica Sandreski. Coming up, we'll hunt for edible mushrooms with Chef Curtis Hem on his Champlain Valley farm. That's in just a few minutes here on Northern Light.
Group called December Wind out of Akwesasne. Northern Light is supported by North Country Children's Museum, Potsdam, with hands-on and minds-on exhibits and programs for children 12 and under and their families. Open Wednesday to Sunday, 10 to 5, northcountrychildrensmuseum.org. And by Fort De La Presentation, home of the Abbey PK Walking Trail, open 7 days a week from sunrise to sunset. Fort1749.org.
Communities throughout the country are dealing with a lack of poll workers. During the 2022 midterm elections, there was a national shortage. NCPR intern Zach Jaworski reports that many North Country counties are searching for solutions.
Local election officials say finding poll workers has been a problem for years.
It's always a challenge.
It's always been a struggle.
Altogether, collectively, it has been a struggle.
That was Tom Nichols and Jenny Bacon of the St. Lawrence County Board of Elections and Jade Sherman of the Hamilton County Board of Elections. They all agree that staffing problems appear to be an age-based issue. Here's Nichols.
It's not a real flashy job to do, so a lot of younger people do not get really excited by it.
Of the more than 300 election inspectors St. Lawrence County trained this year, nearly a third of them were over the age of 71. And Bacon says many of them aren't around for elections early in the calendar year.
A lot of our election inspectors are snowbirds, so they are still in the South.
Election officials also worry about them aging out. Sherman in Hamilton County says that many of the younger people that could fill those roles are busy.
When we need them to be poll workers, they're normally doing their regular jobs.
Sherman's colleague, Gail Teal, also works at the Hamilton County Board of Elections. She says she'd like to try and get young people more involved.
We want to go out to the schools and educate these teenagers. Unfortunately, we get shut down. We don't get return phone calls. It seems like they don't care. This is important for our county, and we hit a wall.
Yeah, I think that speaks to the national climate right now.
That's Rashawn Davis, the executive director of the Andrew Goodman Foundation. It's a nonpartisan organization that tries to get young people involved in the democratic process. He says Teal's experience isn't unique. Many school administrators are worried to talk about politics.
The truth is that democracy is so much more than showing up on election day. What I find is that young people are energized and engaged, but oftentimes they don't necessarily have the outlet to express that involvement.
He believes the solution is taking a more holistic approach to teaching students about civic engagement.
It has to be a joint effort between not just educational institutions, but entire communities that just decide, hey, our democracy is at its best when young people are involved, and this is how we do it.
The next election is the primary on June 25th. The results will determine candidates for November's ballot, including the 21st Congressional District and Plattsburgh's mayoral race. For North Country Public Radio, I'm Zach Jaworski in Canton.
Six North Country arts organizations are receiving $4 million in state aid for capital projects. The biggest grant of about $2.5 million will go to the Wild Center in Tupper Lake to construct a new convening center. The Depot Theater, Tupper Arts Inc., and Blue Seed Studios all got between $25,000 and $50,000 for infrastructure updates. Craig Garden in Elizabethtown got nearly $650,000 to build a main house building with gallery space. The Wilmington Historical Society received $700,000 to build a new Historical Society Center. And that'll go a long way towards the Society's goal of $1.7 million for the project, which it's been fundraising for over a decade.
Three small North Country communities are getting millions of dollars to upgrade their downtowns. The money is part of a new program called New York Forward. As Emily Russell reports, the state is encouraging other small towns to apply.
New York State has pumped hundreds of millions of dollars into downtowns since 2016. That investment is from the Downtown Revitalization Initiative. Places like Plattsburgh, Glens Falls, and Ticonderoga have each received $10 million DRI grants. But that's left out smaller, more rural communities. That is, until a few years ago.
The governor saw and heard loud and clear that smaller towns and villages needed the same access to those resources.
That's Secretary of State Robert Rodriguez. Governor Kathy Hochul's administration launched New York Forward back in 2022. It's a downtown revitalization program aimed specifically at funding projects in smaller towns like Cape Vincent, Lyons Falls, and Waddington. All three won New York Forward grants in the first round of funding. And last week, the state announced which specific projects it would fund in those communities. Waddington, for example, will get $1 million for streetscape upgrades. It'll also get $1 million to restore a historic hotel and add four new apartments to the building. Rodriguez says that's the kind of investment the state is targeting with New York Forward.
I think it's a good example of what is possible and being able to really transform the look and feel of a community, provide hope, and meet some critical needs in terms of parks and open space and housing and or an economic development project. So it's scaled for the right size.
Cape Vincent is getting $2.7 million for downtown upgrades and $850,000 for a waterfront park. And the Lewis County town of Lyons Falls was awarded almost $2 million for streetscape upgrades and $150,000 to turn the former paper and pulp mill into a public space. The Secretary of State's office says they've struggled to get small towns to apply for the grant. But Rodriguez says his office is here to help.
Because there's an application process, small towns might get worried about it. Maybe we don't have a grant writer who can do that. And I want to remind folks, we will practically write the grant for you. If you send in a letter of intent, we will provide technical assistance and somebody to support you to get that application done.
Statewide, New York Forward has funded projects in 43 small communities. The latest winners in the North Country are Canton and Alexandria Bay. The specific projects that will receive funding are still under review. Emily Russell, North Country Public Radio.
Lewis County is seeking small business projects for a six-month program to help entrepreneurs open tourism, food, manufacturing, or construction businesses. Naturally Lewis, the county's economic development office, will provide training, some funding, and guidance to the small business owners. Startup businesses that have been open for less than 6 months are also eligible. The program called Launch Lewis County is accepting applications until May 15th.
And the state is looking for input from birders around New York on two programs. The first is New York State's Wildlife Action Plan, which is currently being revised. The Department of Environmental Conservation wants people to look at the birds that are listed as species of greatest conservation need. Dan Rosenblatt is a DEC biologist.
I believe there's 50-some-odd bird species that are listed as species of greatest conservation need in that state wildlife action plan. And if folks want to provide comments on what they're seeing going on with their favorite species, we're all ears.
The state is also in the last year of the state's third Breeding Bird Atlas, which is a volunteer-driven effort which is documenting the breeding distribution of birds across the state. Rosenblatt says they'd really like to hear from more people in northern New York.
They're really looking for folks to really be able to provide additional information for that northern third of New York. That's, fewest people, but some of the most avid birders. If we could encourage them to kind of get out of their comfort zone and maybe go to a location and bird where they haven't been before.
Birders can sign up for the Breeding Bird Atlas program through eBird. You can find more information and direct links on how to participate in both programs at our website, ncpr.org.
You're listening to Northern Light here on North Country Public Radio. I'm Todd Moe.
And I'm Monica Sandreski. In just a minute, we're headed into the woods with Chef Curtis Hem. Then stick around after the show for Bird Note, a poem about the wildlife our children will inherit. That's at 8:42. But first, Todd has a look at the weather for us.
Clouds right through the weekend at this point, partly to mostly cloudy skies and some occasional rain showers. We had some fog earlier this morning in Canton, scattered rain showers tonight, tomorrow as well. Highs in the upper 50s, low 60s this afternoon, light winds out of the northwest, lows 40s overnight tonight, and highs in the low 60s again on Thursday. Friday, partly cloudy, a high near 70, and then cloudy with scattered showers through the weekend, highs in the 60s both Saturday and Sunday. So right now in Canton, we have mostly cloudy skies, 45 degrees.
Today is the first day of May, and this month typically marks the start of morel mushroom season. So we'll listen again to a summer edible mushroom hunt in the Champlain Valley with Chef Curtis Hem. Chef Curtis has spent his career dedicated to food, preparing, presenting, and teaching the culinary arts. He's traveled around the world to study what makes for a good meal. But closer to home, on his 300-acre Champlain Valley farm, Chef Curtis loves growing growing and foraging for local ingredients, eggs from a flock of hens, along with local fish, venison, and wild mushrooms.
A few summers ago, Chef Hem invited me along during a mushroom hunt.
So this is the pines. So this is a section I call the pine barrens. I'll tell you right now, we got a large patch of chanterelles right there. So right off the bat, we're in good shape.
I'm Curtis Hem, chef and owner of the Carriage House Cooking School, Prue, New York. And this is the farm that my wife and my son and I own. And this is our little slice of heaven. I don't say little, but this is, we are stewards of this piece of property. And whoever ends up having it after us is going to be a very blessed person, because it's a gem. It's hard to find this much acreage, this type of topography, and this diverse of an ecosystem. I've got four different types of forest here that we manage, I manage, and it offers just a great deal of enjoyment and recreation.
Cold Spring Mountain.
Cold Spring Mountain, Prue, New York, just on the edge of Au Sable. Back of the property line is Essex County, front's Clinton County.
And we're out hunting mushrooms
here. Mushrooms, yeah. And we're doing well. The things you notice about the chanterelle are the... So we notice that there's ridges, right? So this doesn't have a gill. This is a false ridge that goes right into the stipe. On the inside of the stipe, you're going to notice that it's white. This one has some slug damage to the stipe, but the inside is white. If it's a jack-o'-lantern, it's going to be yellow, and that's how you tell. Jack-o'-lanterns also don't grow free on the ground like this. They grow in a clump on a stump or a tree base. So, and there's several patches of jack-o'-lanterns. They'll be next month when they show up. So the way I harvest is basically I come in with my two fingers on a stipe and I'll cut. That's my preferred methodology. Some people used to say that you just grab it and then you take the bottom and you just flick it out for a new mycelium. But we have open bags, so we have, you know, somewhat porous bags and baskets. And I just kind of, you know, just give a little shake. But this is like the apple off an apple tree. So this is the fruit off the mycelium. Mycelium being the apple tree, the mushroom being the actual apple. And then we'll go right in the basket.
Sometimes they just break off.
Yep. When I first started, I was very greedy. I've also watched my patches grow every single year, with the exception of last year, because it was just so dry.
Yeah.
And I find them a lot on deer trails. So I'm always curious as to the interaction between deer, white-tailed deer, and mushrooms. And slugs love mushrooms. And, you know, there are animals that that eat these things. So we don't need to be the only eaters of mushrooms. These are my favorites right here, the little ones. I love those. They eat well. They cook beautifully. They're awesome mushrooms. Some don't grow large. So you'll find them, and you can tell that they're not going to get any bigger. So the first mushrooms are petite, and I can see right now, right through the woods here. See the pop of yellow?
Yep.
So that's the fun for me. There's a couple that have popped up over here. There's one there. That's a really nice, that's super, super fresh, because I was just here 2 days ago.
And how long does the season go? You said into October?
I could go to November on chanterelles. Depends on the temperature. For the most part. Now look at that. That is absolutely...
Picture perfect, yeah.
Dense stipe, no...
Slug.
And just heavy.
Yeah. That's the model chanterelle.
Thank you.
Music by Chris Norman and Friends, and Mushrooms by Chef Curtis. You'll find photos from our mushroom hunt a few summers ago on our website this morning at ncpr.org. It's 25 minutes past 8.
So many events going on throughout the region, including coming up this weekend in Canton. It's the Canton Canoe Weekend. The weekend features pro and amateur races of different lengths, plus a chicken barbecue, a DJ, and more. The weekend kicks off this Friday with a recreational paddle at Taylor Park. You can visit CantonCanoeWeekend.org to find out more and to get registered.
And if you're in Canton for a weekend of canoeing and paddling on the Grass River, you might also want to stop by Tawny. Big weekend Saturday. There are three events at Tawny in downtown Canton. There's an exhibit opening by two Mohawk artists, Marlana Thompson Baker and Kaitahatis Thompson of Akwesasne. They have a special opening for their exhibit, My Family, Saturday from 11 until noon. You can stop by for that reception and meet the artists. Then there's going to be a fiddle jam workshop with Gretchen Kohler Saturday. Did you know Saturday is World Fiddle Day? You can prep for it with a jam from 3 to 4 in the afternoon. Then stick around for a contra dance Saturday evening. Beth Robinson, who is a fabulous dance caller, she teaches contra dance calling. She and Gretchen Kohler and the Mad Stop Fiddlers will provide live music. You can dance contra dances to it with Beth leading those dances. Saturday night, 7 o'clock, all happening at the Tawny Center in downtown Canton. So there is Mohawk art, a fiddle jam workshop, and a contra dance, all happening at Tawny on Saturday.
If you're in the Indian Lake area this afternoon, stop by the public library. NCPR's North Country at Work team is there today to find out about what you do for work, what people in your family have done for work. They'd love to hear about it. They're collecting your stories of work, from teaching to logging and everything in between. Come and tell them your work story this afternoon from noon to 5 at the Indian Lake Public Library.
And also, put this on your calendar for a little later in the month, the Howell Story Slam. Very popular events will be at the Upper Jay Arts Center on May 16th. That's Thursday, May 16th, 7 o'clock, a live, unscripted, true storytelling competition. Risky Business is the theme. You can tell a story or just come and listen. It's presented by NCPR and the Adirondack Center for Writing. The Upper Jay Arts Center, the Howell Story Slam on May 16th at 7 p.m.
Also in the Jay area, the Town of Jay Parks Committee is holding a couple of spring cleanup days over the next few weeks. This Saturday in Aussable Forks, they're doing cleanup of Henry's Trail and the Grove Sports Complex. That's from 10 to noon this Saturday morning. Then later in the month, on the 18th in Jay, they'll work to clean Douglas Memorial Park. That's also from 10 until noon. All ages and abilities are welcome. They're providing snacks. You can find out more from the Town of Jay Parks Committee.
That's it for Northern Light for this first day of May.
Morning Edition continues in just a minute. Then join us at lunchtime today for a conversation with best-selling author Eric Larson. When a nation is so divided that political rivals see each other as enemies, is violence inevitable? The author examines the months following the election of Abraham Lincoln, the months that led to civil war. It's a period, he says, reminds him of America today. His new book is called The Demon of Unrest. That conversation between noon and 1 o'clock right here on North Country Public Radio.
Keep up with NCPR throughout the day on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Email us, news@ncpr.org. Our theme music is by Danny Thomas. Until tomorrow, I'm Todd Moe.
And I'm Monica Sandreski. Be well.